Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Brian Tripp now joins us, who will be getting himself mentally ready for the Phillies' big NLCS appearance. Welcome.
Steve, great to be with you. It was a great, great game last night. What a series. And Citizens Bank Park proves to be the toughest environment in pro sports right now.
Yep. I mean, they're fun. I mean, let's say the fans are fun. When they're doing the mock chop, that was a riot. Okay. We'll get to hockey in a moment. So as you have observed from the sideline and so forth, what has been your impression watching this team? Because to me, the question is always, when you get to this point, are you a better team now than you were a month ago? Are they?
Yeah, I think they definitely are. And I think the entire team resembles the head coach. And James Franklin is so consistent in everything that he does. Mm-hmm. I think the team has been really consistent in everything that they do. Their approach, no matter the situation, and for much of the year, as we know, they've been playing with a lead and playing fairly comfortably. But to go on the road at Northwestern and to trail in that game, road game in the Big Ten, another 11 a.m. Central kick, I didn't notice anything change in that situation. And to do that with a quarterback who's making his sixth career start, right, coming up on Saturday against UMass, mm-hmm. they've just been so even keel, I think, the whole season to this point. And that's what's really impressed me about the way that they've handled their business so far, just how much that demeanor hasn't changed, particularly when you look, and we talked about it coming into the year, Steve, with the leadership that Sean Clifford, that Juice Scruggs, that P.J. Mustafa, that Jair Brown provided last year. The question was, where do those voices come from this year? And I think it's been leadership by committee and just a team that is so hungry, so focused, so bought into that 1-0 approach that then has, in turn, translated over to the football field. And that's why you're seeing the complimentary football, really very, very few mistakes made. And when something hasn't gone their way, the few times it hasn't, they're just on to the next play and they handle their business.
I feel maybe one of the more telling comments of the season was your halftime interview with James. Mm-hmm. Penn State had just scored to make it 10-10, so it's tied at the break. And when he looked at you and said, "We're in a good place," I felt that was as telling a comment as I've heard a head coach give.
Yeah, I think that was a pure confidence in, number one, the talent they have in the room, but number two, the maturity that they have in that room. And again, I think you've noticed it with him throughout the course of the season. I think his demeanor hasn't changed. You could tell coming into the year that there was a confidence in this group and the way that they can win. And I think by saying the way that they can win, it's just so many different ways. If they need to lean on the defense to make a big play, you know the defense is going to make a big play. If you know the offense is going to put the defense in a great spot because they're not turning the ball over and you start to win the time of possession, you win the field position battle. All those things add up. And I think he has such a confidence right now in the group and their maturity and how they're handling every situation. I agree. I thought that comment was really telling, especially in that situation on the road. Granted, we all know Penn State's a better football team than Northwestern, but it's a situation they hadn't been in. And to hear the head coach so calm and so poised and so composed in that moment, I think that translates right over to why and how they're playing.
Interesting tomorrow, because we're talking about wet weather. And something that becomes precarious in wet weather is the players really rely on gloves, mm-hmm. right? Across the board, gloves. And if anybody has ever, like, if you ever shake the hand of a football player that's wearing gloves, like, you got to pull your hand out of there because you kind of ask yourself how they ever drop a ball.
Yeah.
Well, wet weather makes them slick. Nike has come up with a glove. And this is something, for example, Chris Godwin, because Chris Godwin, playing down in the humidity of Tampa, sweats a lot. They've come up with a glove that reacts to rain and creates stickiness. I mean, I find all the... And Penn State has them. They're going to use them. I find this amazing.
And that's what I'll be watching when we're out there during pregame. Of course, you had to bring up the rain now. I was trying to avoid it until tomorrow, since it is an absolutely picture-perfect
today
day
is gorgeous.
For homecoming and the parade.
Today is gorgeous.
Today is gorgeous. But it's not just the gloves. It's who ends up wearing the gloves. And we've even seen in the past, you know, players like the quarterback, the running backs, who maybe don't wear those gloves, who's going to turn to them in that rain situation. So that will be what I'm watching tomorrow on the sideline when the game starts. Who is wearing those gloves because of exactly what you're talking about, the way that they are manufactured now for the rain to actually help you in those situations.
They can play with
Not to mention it's going to be like 45-degree real field, and that changes things too a little bit.
Yeah. And see, and they practice with them this week. I mean, they use them this week, which I found to be interesting. But, man, when they got up and talked about that, I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me, really? Right? And I told I told Jack about that, because Jack talks about the glove thing all the time. So far, men's hockey, Clarkson, St. Lawrence, it's only the beginning. What do you think of the beginning?
Well, I thought to go on the road at LIU in the first week and to come from behind and win it 3-2. And look, they went into that ranked, the team that's supposed to win. And I'm not going to say either team, and you would expect this in the first game of the season, played their best hockey. But LIU was about a full year older in average age.
Right.
And instead of looking at classes, junior, senior, whatever, in hockey, just because there's so much difference, I look at what's the average age of the team. And they were nearly 23 years old.
Yeah.
They were about 8 pounds heavier than Penn State and about an inch bigger than Penn State. And they played a really physical game to start. And Penn State came out a little bit slow. But I thought they weathered that. And that was, you know, their Stanley Cup, sold-out building, 2,000 people, dimly lit practice facility. It wasn't playing in Pagool. It wasn't playing in a Big Ten building. And I thought they overcome that.
Was this the Islanders?
Was this the Islanders practice facility?
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's the one.
That's the
one out by Uniondale. That's not the one in Elmont.
It was right across from the old college studio.
Yeah, exactly. It's in Uniondale. Yep.
And you know, Steve, like, they never played a perfect game, but to overcome that physicality with how much scoring they lost from last year, losing their top four point producers, top five goal scorers, to get a big power play goal late, special teams struggled last year, to get a big penalty kill late, and really for the last 30 minutes of the game, LIU had no sustained puck possession in the Penn State zone. I thought it was like a real good, gritty, gutty character win. A couple different areas where you may have gone in with question marks or a little bit of unknown, they answered some of that with who scored and stepping up. I thought for the first game of the year, like, yeah, you want to win every game 5-2, 6-2, 7-2.
Sure.
What a good way to start. Like, a really, really good way to start, even though they didn't play their best hockey.
As you mentioned, special teams were not their strength last year. Yet in this opener, and it's only a game, but they were 3-for-3 in the penalty kill. They were 1-for-4 in the power play, and the one turned out to be the eventual game-winning goal. I mean, that's the kind of progress I think any coach is looking for after an offseason.
Yeah, and going into the season, Connor McEachran, Connor McMenamin, Kevin Wall, Paul DeNaples, guys that had been stalwarts and played so many minutes in big situations the last few years, you don't have them anymore. So is it just, it's not just incoming freshmen, but it is a Dylan Lucas who only played in 8 games last year after just emerging on the scene after coming in halfway through his freshman season from the NCDC. Who is this guy? And he scored in almost every playoff game that year. He's now in a bigger role on the power play. Tanner Palacek, who comes in from Dartmouth, a transfer defenseman, quarterbacking the power play unit. And you're just kind of wondering, how are people going to handle these different roles that they're put in? And they were responsible for Palacek with a big shot that was tipped in, Lucas with a tip-in for the game-winning goal. They're responsible for 2 of the 3 goals in the game. I think the speed players that you need to count on to step up in those spots to get that, granted just one game, you have to be really encouraged about the start.
Yeah, because for Lucas, that's the first goal he scored since 2022, so that had to be a great emotional boost for him.
Yeah, yeah, it definitely was for him. I think, you know, Carson Dick made some really good plays. He didn't play a ton last year, but he's one of those guys, character guy. Guy loves him. The team loves him. And you can tell that he's going to have a bigger role this year. I thought he played really well. Then the freshman, I thought Matt DeMarsico, who scored the first goal in the game, he's got great hands. He was the leading scorer with Green Bay in the USHL last year. So he has a knack for scoring. I thought he skated really well to go along with his hands. The Aiden Fink was involved in a goal-scoring play. He comes in as the Canadian Junior Hockey Player of the Year last year, was originally committed to Wisconsin. He's involved in a big goal. And then to see the development, the freshman defenseman from a year ago, Carter Shade, Jared Crespo, and Dylan Grattan, I think that decor is really a strength of the team this year. And you can just see the steps that they made from year one to year two. And when we say, you know, Guy and I talked about this pregame, we talked about it postgame, when you say the decor is the strength of the team, so many people think, oh, okay, so they're going to try to win 1-0, 2-1 games. Well, the way they want to play, it's nice to have a great back end, but it's more – it's not blocking shots and fogging up your own zone and being on defense the whole game. It's the second that puck comes in the zone, moving it right back out of the zone as fast as possible. So that way you're sustaining the pressure in the puck at the other end. And that way the decor is driving what ends up being a really good offense that becomes your best defense.
And as I mentioned, they've got Clarkson, St. Lawrence. Then they finally come home and they've got AIC to finally play the home opener.
And the Clarkson-St. Lawrence trip's a tough trip. You go up there, there's two physical teams. Clarkson's a really good team, either an NCAA tournament team or close to it. Every year, it's a bus ride. You're switching rinks between Friday and Saturday night. There's not a whole lot going on in Potsdam, New York. And then all of a sudden, you walk in, and it's an intimidating, sold-out venue. And they're a busy, physical, heavy, puck possession-type team. Play kind of similar to Notre Dame may play if you start to look at Big Ten teams comp. Clarkson's the better of the two, actually split with Notre Dame last weekend. But that's a real tough trip, too, to go up there. And you'll learn a lot about the type of team that you have. But they don't mind, Steve, honestly, playing away to start the year with so many new faces and just a different group. Being able to get the guys together on the road, they felt like, and also not playing in Pagula, there's a little pressure when you're playing at home, I think, with that crowd, kind of like ease into this thing, get the group together, really good bonding experience.
Actually going on the road does that. That you bond going on the road. So tomorrow, just some general thoughts, and people always ask what effect the weather could have on it. What's your thought on that?
Yeah, I think you obviously are concerned about the effect that the rain could have on the game, but particularly when you think of rain, you think of field, you think of injuries and anything like that.
And you think about Northwestern last year. I mean, that we thought that would be an easy game and end up 17-7.
Yeah, turnovers, sloppy field, weather, a great equalizer. I was looking, it looks like a little wind, but not crazy with wind tomorrow. I know we talked about that and how difficult that can be, but they've already played in a rain game this year. As you know, they've practiced in the rain a bazillion times throughout the course of the year.
I've stood there.
So they're in it way too often. But I think you just want to see them come out and play the consistent complementary football that they've played all season to this point. UMass obviously defensively has allowed a lot of big plays. You do want to see the ability to create those explosive plays against that defense. How does the rain impact the ability to create those explosive plays? I don't know. But I think those are a few things that you kind of look for in a game like this.
My friend, we will see you tomorrow. Probably the driest you'll be is in the pregame show.
I agree with that. but I'm looking forward to it no matter what.
Yep. All right, here we go. It's second half. It gets rolling. I mean, I know it's 5-down, 7 to go in the regular season, but, let's face it, after the bye week.
It feels like it now.
Thanks, Brian.
All right.
See you tomorrow,
Thanks,
buddy.
Steve. Yep, see ya.